this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris Wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 33 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded live Wednesday, January 29th. This is Aaron, and in today's episode, we'll be talking about trade rumors, outdoor games, security at the Sochi Olympics, and the North Star College Cup. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And our producer, Jive.
Good evening, folks.
So how's it going, boys?
Good week.
We're doing good, yeah.
Yeah, can't really complain,
we've had
right?
A good week all around, yeah.
Yeah.
Good week for hockey for if you're a Minnesota fan.
All around, actually.
All around. Well, if you're a Minnesota fan. Now, if you're a Minnesota college fan that is not a Gophers fan, maybe not so well.
Maybe not so much, but it was a good time for hockey for all Minnesota collegiate parties, aside from Bemidji, right?
Yeah, but I don't know what they did this weekend.
I think they had a bye this year. But with that, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. So do you want to just kick it into the wild week?
Yeah,
certainly.
Okay. So over the past week, we've had three games, two wins and an overtime loss. A loss that probably should have been a win if it weren't for Joe Pavelski's obvious dive. The Wild basically get 5 points in three games. They currently sit in seventh place, a point ahead of Vancouver and 4 points ahead of Phoenix. They win against Chicago 2-1, lose to San Jose 3-2 in overtime, and then destroy Anaheim last night 4-2. That 4-2 actually makes it sound closer than it really was.
Pipes. Pipes.
Yeah, I mean, if the pipes had been 2 inches to either side,
it would have been another.
It could have been an 8-point game, you know.
Hey, I'm all about widening those goals.
last night's game was just brilliant. I mean, it was physical, fast. They're putting the puck on the net. They're crashing the net. I mean, it's the kind of hockey we've been dreaming about for years here.
Almost back to what was that? The game one or game two against Chicago? In the playoffs,
yeah, that was very
style. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was physical. There was lots of back and forth. Unfortunately, with that back and forth, there's a few times that the Wild were caught a little on their heels. There's one instance I can think of where I think Scandella was unloading for a slap shot, broke his stick, and the Wild almost got killed on that.
Kemper, though, he held strong in the net, and
yeah,
he's holding his own back there.
He's been impressive. Definitely stepping up his game. Not the Kemper of old that we've talked about past episodes of just falling apart. So
yeah, I mean four goals given up. Oh wait, no, I'm doing math wrong here. 6 goals given up over the last 3 games. So averaging about 2 goals a game. I know a lot of those are power play goals. So his regulation goals are even lower. He's not letting a lot of even strength goals in.
Which is good, because, I mean, they're also giving him the space to see the puck and not the... I know a couple of the goals that he did let in, various defensemen were screening him pretty bad.
Right.
And most of them that went in, I mean, I would have to say that almost no goalie is going to make those. I mean, that's the only thing is, you know, I still want that goalie in our net that's going to make those, you know, couple spectacular saves a game.
Oh yeah,
you know the those are the game changers that
oh no doubt
are taking goals from the other team.
You know, so there's been one thing I've always thought about would be, and they don't, I've never seen this, so if it exists, I apologize. I don't think I've seen it, but we would be a goalie scoring system. So for every save or every goal they give up, rate whether or not, you know, someone would have to look at all these and rate whether or not the average goalie would have stopped that shot. Or let that in as a goal.
Similar to hockey fights.
Sort of, yeah.
Or like the quarterback rating system they have kind of for...
I know they do it for baseball fielding, too, because fielding stats are like one of those nebulous things that don't really exist in reality.
How can you really say how good somebody is?
Right. Just because he happens to be in the spot where the ball goes doesn't mean he was actually a good stopper.
But there's
nerd.
Exactly. There's somebody keeping stats somewhere, and there's a way to
crunch the numbers. Because I think Kemper has been, if that stat were being kept, I think Kemper has been super solid as far as stopping shots that an average goalie probably wouldn't.
We need to get some of these guys from the MLB to start doing stats for the NHL, because those guys are absolutely nuts. I sat in on one of the MLB scouting, all the scout meetings previously, and the stats that these guys are talking about is just like, where do you even come up with this stuff?
It's like collegiate level math type stuff.
Yeah, you pretty much have to be a math major to even get into this. But Harding has, he had a couple of pretty wild saves though against Chicago,
where
Kemper. Flailing around, reminding me of Harding with some of Harding's flailing around amazing saves of the year.
And actually, I know me and you were watching the game. Probably was that Chicago game. San Jose. And you know, you would see Kemper go behind the net and play the puck, and he'd get in positions where you're like, oh my god, I can't believe he's actually playing the puck right now, because if he messes up, he's totally exposed because there's a block or there's a skater right next to him. And that actually reminds me a lot of Harding from like 3-4 years ago. So maybe that's, I mean, for me, it gives me a heart attack, but you know, he hasn't been burned by it yet. So maybe I shouldn't be too concerned about it.
And you want to know, if you never take any risk, there's never any reward.
Well, this is true. Another guy who I thought stood out really well these past three games was Matt Cook.
Oh, totally. I mean, he had a goal against Chicago, a goal against San Jose.
A couple posts
against
Anaheim.
I mean,
his goal against San Jose, I love that. Just a nice breakaway goal. Was it Niemi in that?
Yep, Niemi's in net.
And, yeah, just blew it right past him.
No, he's had a great series. I think on the defensive side, Marco Scandella has actually kind of stepped up his game in the absence of Jared Spurgeon. There's a few times where I saw him on the back door, basically protecting Kemper from having too much exposed on the backside. And especially against Anaheim, I really noticed him a couple times, you know, picking up. You know, there's so many times where we see a guy just kind of parked in that blind spot and no one on the Wild defense is dealing with him. Scandella was dealing with him last night, at least.
Spurgeon was great for that. And is one thing that we have been missing and lacking without Spurgeon on there is that second goalie.
Right.
Suter's done it a couple of times, but
That's Spurgeon's bread and butter right there.
Absolutely. So Scandella's definitely picking up, and he's also been able to thread the needle.
Yeah.
From the top of the circle this year.
Actually, we've been getting a lot of scoring from our D. I mean, we've had... We also had a goal by Ballard.
Yes,
just a beautiful like.
Oh, he was way down there too.
Yeah, he was cheating, but you know.
Yeah, hey, but that's what I like to see. I like to see him pushing the puck, forcing the issue. Let's you know.
You're gonna get burned sometimes, but you know, as long as you're doing it smartly, and if you sneak up there and then get out of dodge, so you can protect your back end.
Well, and this time it paid off.
It totally did.
Risk and reward,
and it's something that Lemaire era we never saw.
Oh, well,
very rarely. I mean, you'd see Burns do it every now and again.
And that's the thing is, you know, if you sit back and you sit back and you sit back, pretty soon you get run over anyways. So, I mean, What's the difference getting burned once in a while when you get run over, or burned once in a while when you're trying hard to force the issue?
Right. You
know? And it did seem like they were doing that the past three games, is rather than sitting back on their heels and just playing safe, they were pinching in almost all three of those games nonstop.
Yeah,
they didn't let up on pressure.
Yeah, they weren't playing patty cake around the perimeter. They were pushing it towards the net. And you know what? We can't just have three guys playing patty cake, or sometimes four if they include the blue line, playing patty cake around the perimeter.
Go play some rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you need someone getting in there and challenging them.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need all five guys challenging them, because you know what? They've got all five guys in there and defending.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
So.
But speaking of defending, I mean, there's been a lot of rumors going on about our goalie situation.
Yeah,
there's been rumors. People have mentioned that Buffalo Sabres goalie Ryan Miller maybe possibly might be coming to the Wild for, I don't know, they've mentioned Granlund and Coyle and maybe Heatley in the mix there somewhere. Fact or fiction, really?
I mean, I got to say fiction. I know it's a Wild fan's probably wet dream to trade Heatley for anything of value. I mean, just because, I mean, at the very least, I mean, regardless of what do you think of his play is, his salary is really high.
Absolutely.
It's prohibitively high. However, the Sabres have a ton of cap space, and Ryan Miller's gone after this year. The thing that falls apart for me, if we're getting Ryan Miller back, sure, Heatley makes sense, but including Granlund or Coyle makes absolutely no sense.
We can't get rid of a center.
No.
Or a center and a half. Or
a young cheap center on top of that.
Both of them are.
For a rent-a-goalie.
This, to me, this trade scenario sounds like a wet dream of some Buffalo blogger rather than anything based in reality.
Could we maybe ponder this now? What about Heatley and either Coyle or Granlund for Vanek and Miller?
Vanek's with Islanders now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because he went to the Islanders for his half a season. That's right.
Ideally, that would have been. Well, see, the thing is just getting Miller. I understand the desire to have another goalie because Backstrom has been hurt, and obviously we don't know what the deal is with Harding right now. But if Backstrom is healthy, any deal I think where we get a goalie, we're gonna have to move Backstrom as part of the deal. I don't see any other way to do it because at this point you got to keep Kemper around, right?
Yeah,
he's our future.
He's showing you that he's just about ready to step up and be our future. So
I don't think you're going to get anything for Harding. I think Harding's going to have to finish his career off here.
It's probably true.
Unfortunately, I mean,
even think it's unfortunate. I think that number one, the Minnesota Wild, and all of us Minnesota fans will embrace him and
absolutely
take sure.
Until he can't play.
But at the same point, it's unfortunate circumstance for him.
For him.
Professionally.
Yeah. Right.
To have that be the case.
Yeah.
Although, he did say a few years back, and if he's healthy and we get rid of Backstrom, he was willing to go up as trade bait to go to a team where he could be the number one goalie. That's what he wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
well, he had that at the beginning of the season, then
absolutely.
MS complications derailed that.
Now, I mean, he could still finish off his career as a number one goalie here and still live that dream.
Sure.
But with medication.
And then how long are the Wild going to be willing to sit around and wait for him to maybe be healthy?
How long is he physically even going to be able to play at a professional, at an NHL level?
As a fan, all I can really hope is that he is honest with the team.
Yes.
And that when he figures out that he can't play anymore, that he's clear with the team on that. Yeah.
And honest with himself.
Okay. And as a professional athlete, I think that's often the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Because they've been told all their lives how great of an athlete they are, and now to get to a point where they can't physically perform.
Make sure you go out on top. But I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, imagine yourself in your daily jobs. If you can't show up to work for 3 months straight, 4 months straight, I mean, at some point, your position is not going to be held. I mean, you're going to have to.
Yeah,
they have to get the work done somehow. We have to get a goalie doing something somehow.
Yeah, this is true. And the Wild aren't going to want to pay three goalies.
No,
when one's has a medical condition that will likely end his career.
Well, and one can't stay healthy with, and he's not even playing to get injured.
No, he's still suffering with the abdominal stuff from last year.
Now, with that, so again, Yo was playing the hot hand.
Is he going to burn out Kemper?
How long before that happens?
I think Kemper's a young kid, so he's got a few games in him before you're going to burn him out.
Well, but it also could end up like Grubauer in Washington, where they had a Neuwirth and Brayton Holtby, and both those guys are established veterans that have played well in the past. One of them gets hurt or is flaky. Grubauer gets pulled up and his lights out. And then they've all of a sudden got a situation where, oh no, we got to figure out what our goalie situation is. Luckily, Grubauer played like 10 games or whatever in a row and was awesome and then fell apart for a few games. So they had an excuse to get rid of him or send him back down to the AHL. A similar thing happened in LA where they ended up moving Quick's backup.
Scrivens.
Yeah, they moved Scrivens to Edmonton. So, I mean, you know, it really depends on how confident the Wild are going to be that Kemper's going to remain hot, you know?
What about Theodore? He's still out there, and I believe he's still available.
The question is a aged Theodore better than a potentially streaky Kemper? No. I'm not convinced of that.
Or a gimpy Backstrom.
Again,
yeah.
Kind of like when we picked up Theodore last time, he'd be a rental for the last half of the season.
He is replacement level. I mean, he's okay, but he's not a great player.
Serviceable.
He's serviceable, yeah.
Yeah. So that said, I mean, who would you guys be willing to trade for somebody like a Ryan Miller?
For a rental goalie?
Yeah.
Heatley and picks. I maybe throw in another guy that's in the AHL that may be blocked by someone else, but I would not trade
not two NHL level players.
No. Yeah. You know, but I almost think you'd have to try to trade Backstrom too. I mean, I think that's the only way you can make this work, because otherwise you got too many goalies.
Yeah.
You don't want to. Do you really want to send Kemper down? Because you can't send Backstrom down.
Possibly throw Mitchell in the deal.
Yeah, and luckily, you know, if we were to deal with the Sabres again, they do have a ton of cap space, so they could handle taking on Heatley and Backstrom's contract. But I'm not certain that that's actually the right way to go.
We'd have to repaint your bobblehead.
Well, the face is kind of generic looking, so right. we can just change the numbers, and I think we'd be okay.
We'll just leave the number, and we'll just paint over it brunette or something like that.
It very well could be.
So, not to totally change topics, but you know, since we were talking about the Wild, and I know last week we were talking about the outdoor game for the Gophers that they had.
Yeah.
You know, with this past weekend, they had a whole bunch of Stadium Series games around the NHL, including the big one, which was an LA outdoor game in LA at Dodger Stadium.
Melted ice.
Yeah. You know, it was more of a spectacle than anything, you know, having Kiss play, and they, rather than have an ice skating rink next to the real rink, they've got an inline skating rink.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, good God. It's like going back to the roller hockey days. Wasn't L.A. like the starter of roller hockey?
Probably.
Like the actual league?
I mean, they had palm trees, and so it's like, it was all spectacle. I think the players said they were getting too hot, actually.
Sunburn.
I have to say, though, as a fan, I wouldn't mind sitting out there to watch a game of hockey. I could definitely take some California weather over what we've had the last couple
days.
It's not done, right?
It's never going to end.
Well, you know, these guys could just come up here and literally play street hockey with ice skates right now.
Right.
Well, this is true. And John Collins, the NHL COO, he had said, and I quote, "There are markets that everybody points to that we all know would be great for an outdoor game. We already announced Washington. That'll be next year. Everybody knows Minnesota would be great. Colorado would be great. If this goes well in LA, San Jose would be great." Have all these Stadium Series games kind of watered down the allure of an outdoor game? Are you guys still wanting or wishing we have an outdoor game in Minnesota?
If we have an outdoor game here, I'd want a Winter Classic. I don't think I would want just a Stadium Series game.
I have to agree with Kenny on that one. I mean, this is the state of hockey. And, I mean, yeah. I mean, I can't think of anything that I would like better than on Hockey Day Minnesota to be hosting a Winter Classic.
Well, that wouldn't happen.
That wouldn't happen, though.
Why not?
Because Hockey Day Minnesota is not on the first of the year.
Right. Well, then I think we'd have
it be altered?
Well, I think you'd have an added – that's actually a good point that you bring up, but I think it would add a different level of issue is we had the outdoor game for the Gophers this past year.
Yes.
And they had that not on Hockey Day Minnesota because the Big Ten Network wanted to air the outdoor game.
Uh-huh. And Hockey Day Minnesota is an Fox. FSN.
And so Fox would not want to give up their outdoor game. So give up their game for Hockey Day Minnesota with the Wild. So I don't see that ever happening.
There's always politics, aren't there?
Right, right.
NBC is going to get in there because NBC is going to have to air it. And with Hockey Day Minnesota, you're not going to get Fox and NBC to agree on anything.
So Kenny, you're saying Winter Classic or bust for Minnesota outdoor game.
Winter Classic, yeah. I would take one, but I would much rather have a Winter Classic here than just a random Coors Light Stadium Series game.
Are the number of games that they're having outdoors, is it watering down the product?
Absolutely, I think so. Yeah.
I think it was a lot more special of a deal when it was just that one time a year. I mean, it's just like the Super Bowl or the World Series, except for it's not a championship, but I mean,
it had that level of hype.
It was like, this is our chance to see everything.
Even HBO
outdoors,
picked up on that.
Right.
HBO with their 24/7 picked up on it, you know, three or four episodes a year with that, actually getting behind the scenes. Like, you're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, this is the big game, and it's not even to win the cup.
Right.
It's a big dot deal, but then we're doing it several other times. So
And they don't get as much attention either. I mean, really. No. Outside of hockey fans, right. Where are they talking about outdoor games and anywhere?
Yeah.
Nowhere. Whereas, you know, you wake up on the first hungover. And you know what? You wake up and you watch hockey on national TV. It's a nationally televised game, not on some rinky-dink cable station. Were any of these even? I don't even think any of these were on NBC proper.
No.
So it's like they're definitely watering down the product. I'm gonna stick with Winter Classic or bust. I'm not really excited about a Stadium Series game.
You know, and here's the thing with that: there's still one more game left to go. There's still the Chicago Pittsburgh game that's not until March.
Right.
So you're gonna have two teams more than likely in a playoff hunt, positional. And now you're going to put them in a game in Chicago in March where who knows what the weather could be, and you're going to have these guys playing on potential sloppy ice or snow. Or
yeah, March in Chicago, that means a ton of freaking snow.
Yeah.
I mean, odds are.
Wind coming up. Well, and at Soldier Field.
Right.
Remember the wind from the first Winter Classic coming off of, was it Lake Erie in Buffalo?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to have the same thing coming off of Lake Michigan in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Although I got to say, at this year's Winter Classic, the snow coming down there, I mean, that just totally added to the ambiance of the game. And
it looks
like,
cool.
I mean,
from a fan's perspective.
Right.
Player's perspective.
At least you know it's winter.
You don't see
green grass and palm trees around.
Well, actually, the Chicago game that they had at Soldier Field a couple years ago, they had rain issues on the first.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, ironically, I was just looking through a bunch of old pictures from all my phones, and I think that was the year that I had pictures from Christmas when I looked outside, and I was almost wearing like shorts and a t-shirt.
and everything was green. Here. So we might have even had issues had we had it up here.
and they could, I mean, being that it's in March, it's not unheard of for us to have really warm springs. I mean, granted, this year it's probably unrealistic.
Hey, there's been times in Minnesota where it's been 70 degrees in February.
Well, yeah. So going with that, is that too late for a winter class or for an outdoor game for two teams that could they're looking for big market teams that are going to be playoff ready? Do you really want to put those two teams in that position?
Well, and I think that actually hints at a bigger question is. Is it unfair to have certain teams having to play an outdoor game, and so basically their schedules are basically off kilter compared to the other teams that get to play on solid ice indoors all of their games? You know, the Rangers have to play two games outdoors.
Actually, they played them both. They took both of them, and I was going to bring this up, but since you brought up the Rangers, they did a day game, and then they did a night game. No. how what's your thoughts on that, day or night? Well, sorry. Continue with your question, and we'll go back to that one.
I just think that it stacks a deck against teams that have to play outdoors multiple times, whereas a team that gets the benefit of playing in regular, comfortable ice that they know.
Yeah.
I think that's a disadvantage for those outdoor teams. Granted, they're opponents of the Wild divisionally, so that doesn't really impact us as much. In a negative sense, but
yeah, and I mean, yeah, you gotta say one team has given up one home game to be the home team on this, you know, unfamiliar, you know.
Yeah,
I think they got the ice down pretty good, so I mean, they do a pretty good job of having
but they can still have rain ice, or something like that, and that can, yeah, that can put and we saw that a few years ago, like we were saying,
or sun glare,
sun glare, right. Yeah.
So I mean, but.
You know, you still get in a warm market city though, and even then indoors you still get issues with the ice.
You do
when it's really hot and muggy out.
There was even times myself as a hockey player when I was growing up, playing at Augsburg College over here. That was notably the worst arena to play in. Half the time you'd be skating behind the net, and your skate would like be going down onto the cement. They,
ouch.
The parents were happy because they kept the rink very warm. but you know, I mean, there's at a certain point you got to keep the ice frozen, right?
Right. Well, speaking of tropical paradises, we've got the upcoming Olympics held in the tropical Mediterranean city of Sochi in Russia.
Beautiful, beautiful Sochi.
Beautiful Sochi. Yeah.
And one of our own, Ryan Suter, he's going there.
Yeah.
Hopefully following in his father's footsteps, right?
Yeah.
So, it did come about. Folks have been talking. There's a certain amount of threat level coming from over there with, you know.
There's a war. I mean, it's really no different than, you know, look at the 96 Olympic bombing. There's worries of terror.
Yeah,
you know, there's been some Islamic fundamentalists that have been right. threatening to bomb people in at the Olympics this year. So,
and that said, Suter is he's decided that he wants to keep his family, his wife, and his two young children home. So
yeah,
and I know that
and he's not alone.
No, I think it was Corey Perry, maybe too. I heard speaking up.
Parisi.
Parisi, yeah, his parents aren't coming, or he asked his parents not to come.
Well, and his wife, it was tentative anyways with newborn twins.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, because, yeah, there's like an alert, you know, basically stating, you know, that they ought to stay home if they're not needed there, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and then on the opposite side of that, you get Kane going, no, my family's coming. You know, it's out of our control if something's going to happen anyways.
He'll just throw dimes at him anyway.
but that said, I mean, even if you do like Suter does and keep your family at home, have the people who are putting this terror into people, have they won then anyways? I mean, they're forcing you to alter the way you wanted to live, the way you want to do things. I mean, that's part of terror.
I think the bigger thing it speaks to is that I think a lot of people are unsure of the quality of security that they're going to experience from Russian authorities.
Yeah.
You know, especially with them having the ban on gayness and gay propaganda.
But they've got Snowden. He's going to, you know, bust any leaks they got, right?
Yeah, I'll hold my breath on that one.
The anti-gay reminds me, Lewis Black had a comment on that with, why would the Olympics, you know, a committee that is supposed to be bringing everybody together go to a city that is anti-gay? He's like, it's like bringing Bacon Fest to Iran. It's like, it just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
But there was also another article that said Putin had picked Sochi, you know, just because he knew, almost as a slap in the face to some of these terror groups that aren't very far away, going, no, we'll keep you out. And
Well, especially with the, not to get all political here, but with the Russian involvement in Georgia and Sochi's proximity to Georgia.
It's very close.
And there's a lot of strife between, you know, Russia and Georgia right now. So it'll be real scary, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, with all that, I mean, do you think that attendance is going to be down for the Olympics? I mean,
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You don't think this will keep people away?
I think it'll keep some of the athletes' families away, but I think there's still enough populace there that it might make it easier for the locals of Sochi to get in to the events. I think you'll still see full events.
I personally think it's not going to affect it much because I think there's a potential that a lot of people weren't wanting to go anyway because of Russia. And even though Russia is now democratic, you know, Putin has rolled back a lot of freedoms that had been gained since independence. So I don't know that it'll really affect it, to be honest.
Being the fine destination spot that it is, I guess I would have to disagree with you guys and think that all the talk. I mean, I think that the way things travel, as far as through social media and things like that these days, the word is spreading, and it's not spreading just here. I mean, this word is spreading worldwide, and I think that that's gonna work exponentially to, you know, maybe bring down the attendance.
I think here is gonna be a big one though, because I mean, you got us, Russia, maybe a couple other countries, maybe England, that are competing in pretty much every event.
Right.
Not very many countries are competing or are competitors in every single Olympic event or close to.
True.
So with that, if you get the Americans starting to hold back like that, that's going to be a good percentage of the fans not showing up because of that fact.
Possibly. There's also a lot of countries that either don't care for the U.S. or are indifferent to positions that the U.S. takes. So there's going to be a lot of countries that go, it's just the U.S. being the boy. I mean, because what they boycotted the Olympics in 76. So it's the U.S. has boycotted the Olympics before. This wouldn't be the first time that they're hedging their bets.
We're definitely not boycotting the Olympics. No. I think I heard it was a record number of athletes that were sending over there this time. So,
well,
yeah.
And you guys know that the Jamaican bobsled team is there, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again? Nice.
They're back in action.
I think they're training in like Wyoming or something like that, is what I read.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm totally rooting for them.
Actually, the thing I'm most excited about, and I don't know where we're going on this Olympics tangent, but the downhill skier for Mexico.
Hey.
Did you see his leotard or his spandex suit?
I can only imagine.
It's a mariachi uniform. It is wonderful.
Is this reminiscent of the Chicago? The Chicago
the Ice
Wolfpack?
Hogs?
Ice Hogs.
Yeah, and their Chi-Chi's uniforms. I would say somewhat.
Awesome.
We'll get it posted on our website and on Facebook, because it is, wow, it's mind-boggling. I would love to see a hockey team wearing a uniform kind of styled off of this. Ooh,
could you imagine if just one game hockey players had to wear the style of suit that downhill skiers wear, like just pretty much spandex, no pads?
You would have not a lot of hitting, I'm guessing.
That could be entertaining. Well,
taking a puck? You're not going to have any people diving for pucks or anything like that.
Not jumping in front of them either.
No. And so. Poor goalies, man.
Yeah. They can retain their pads.
I think that might cause some injuries.
And speaking of injuries... or better yet, lack of injuries, because we got Parisi back and no one went on IR. It's amazing. Parisi returns after he missed 14 games, coming back from his broken foot. Spurgeon was supposed to skate today with the team, but due to our favorite scribe for the Star Tribune, Mike Caruso's absence, we have gotten zero updates on that. I don't know if he actually skated. We don't know if he skated with the team or not today. But they had said on the FSN broadcast last night that he was supposed to skate with the team. Koivu will not likely return before the Olympic until after the Olympic break. I think that's kind of a given.
That was kind of originally thought as well,
right? And we haven't heard much in the way of progress from Harding. I know he was. We saw pictures of him skating with Bob Mace in our video, a week or two ago, but we really haven't heard any progress there. So when will we see Harding play again? Kenny, what's your guess? When will we see Harding again?
Hopefully after the Olympic break. It's tough to tell, though. It's not like it's a physical injury that you can, roughly tell, when he's going to heal. If his meds aren't acting right and they're trying new cocktails, who knows what's going on? I mean, it's. I'd like to see him back after the Olympic break, but we'll see.
What do you think, Joe?
Well, Nostra Aranis. I might just have to take over here for you, but you remember that I am the psychic here, right?
Yeah, Madam Jaivo?
Correct. So let me look deep into my crystal ball here, off the shininess of my head. Yes, I can see it. Now, if I can just see, I see a date here. Early March, around March 10th. Yes, early in March there, around March 10th, he'll return.
We need to get the genie from Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Mecca Lecca High, Mecca Hiney Ho.
That's all I could think of watching Jive. Like, dude, if we painted him blue, it'd be golden.
So, mark my words, though. Folks, you heard it here first. Around March the 10th, Harding will be announced. He'll be back. He's going to be right back into game form. I look forward to it.
And I'm going to be the pessimist and say he's done.
Huh?
I don't want it to be that way, but this is now his second major outage in two seasons, and really a season because, we've played basically 82 games from last season and this season.
Yeah.
He's been out for a significant amount of time, all due to MS. I mean,
way to bring down the mood.
Yeah, I know.
That's such a downer, man. I mean, let's think on the positive, man.
Like the upcoming games?
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of predictions. So the Wild are going to continue their road trip for two more games. Tomorrow night they're playing in Colorado against the Avs. Saturday they are playing in Calgary against the Flames. And then back for, we could almost throw in the last two games before the Olympic break. But Tuesday they're playing the Lightning and then leaving one more home game after that before the Olympic break against Nashville, I believe.
Yeah.
So, and with that, the game of the week.
So, last week's big, 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 big winner with the Wild versus Chicago was Kenny picking the score dead on.
The big wiener.
Big wiener. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
So with that, with Kenny winning, he moves into first place overall with 8 points. Jive and I are tied with 6 points. And the Meat Beast is down at 4 points. So Kenny, what is the next game of the week?
I'm going to take the Wild's only home game with Tampa Bay Lightning at here versus Wild.
And Jive, what's your pick for this?
You're asking me to call upon my psychic duties.
Mecca Lecca High, baby.
I'm going to have to go with the Wild winning this one. I can't keep betting on the other team, obviously. So I'm going to go with the Wild winning this one, probably in overtime, but I think the Wild will squeak it out 3-2.
And since you conveniently took 3-2, I'm also going with the Wild. I'm going to go 3-1. I think they're on fire offensively a little bit, and Kemper's been shut down goalie right now. So, and plus, we're playing a team for the East, so it should be cakewalk. I don't think they have Stamkos back. Stamkos might have started skating, but I don't think he's going to be ready for the game. So I'm going with...
They'll probably let them rest till the Olympic break.
It would be the smart idea. So I'm going to go with the Wild winning 3-1.
You know, I almost want to change mine since Madame Jival over here finally took the Wild, but... I'm going to stick with what I had. I'm going to go with the Wild winning 4-3. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth game, fairly high-scoring, possibly OT.
And Meatbeast, what are you going to pick?
I'm going to pick the Buccaneers 3-2.
Wow, was
Bucky
that...
Buccaneers.
Wow.
Josh is in a helium tank right now. Meatbeast is in a helium tank.
Right. Something like that. So with that, Gophers.
So, the Gophers men played in the very first inaugural, well, I guess there's only one inaugural, but the inaugural North Star College Cup.
Well, at least they didn't call it not the
first annual.
The first annual, yeah. That wasn't that a George Carlin bit?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
They ended up, the Gophers ended up going on to win. They took out the number 5 ranked St. Cloud State Huskies on Friday 4-1. Went on to beat the UMD Bulldogs 5-4 in a shootout victory.
Yeah.
Which the UMD ended up going into OT both games in a row that they played against Mankato the night before. So Gophers bring home the first North Star College Cup, which ironically they will be hosting every year. But with that, with the current format, is that the U of M will play host every year.
Yep.
And the other 4... Minnesota teams that are Division I will rotate in and out. One team out will sit out every year.
Yep.
Does it seem fair that no matter how the Gophers are doing, they get an automatic in? And what about going to a format like the Frozen Five with a play-in game with the 2 teams with the lowest record?
That seems like an easy choice to make. Why not have all 5 teams play? It doesn't make any sense not to do that.
I agree. I mean, I can understand... having the Gophers maybe host every year, or at least having actually it's at the XL, so I mean they were kind of the host team.
I think the toughest part of adding that extra game is that you're basically gonna have to spread it over 3 days potentially, and I think that might have been their only concern if wanting to stay on the 2-game schedule.
So what's the big deal about a Thursday night game? I mean,
I'm not saying there's a deal with that. I'm just saying that's probably what their argument is against it, because during the regular season, they don't generally do the Thursday games.
No, actually, it probably wouldn't be a Thursday night game. They'd probably
do a Sunday.
They'd probably do 2 games, like the play-in game.
Friday night.
Then 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday.
Yeah, more than likely is what they'd end up doing.
But regardless, either way, I mean, it's more money in the pot their pockets, because you're getting admissions to another game. And
well, and actually, and that's funny that you say that, because I had a friend that went to the game, and they said attendance wasn't very good.
I think it was like 17,000 is what I heard for the championship game.
And I don't even know that it was that full. So I heard the ticket sales weren't that great. It didn't look like the attendance was that great either. So maybe extending it another day wouldn't have been the worst idea.
Yeah.
Well, and... also, I don't know if they had changed this. When I went to the Western Conference Finals with my dad a couple of years back, there was no alcohol there. So I don't know how much the X is losing by not serving alcohol and adding an extra day in, rather than having, say, like a Wild game there.
Oh, that's true. Regardless of what format they're going to do, I want to take them to task on the cup, because I think they cheaped out and had a wooden cup. It looks like a shop project. Apparently, it's a very large trophy, but it looks like a table leg.
Ooh, fragile.
Fragile.
So what you're saying is they should have just got the lamp from... the leg lamp from...
Christmas Story.
Christmas story.
Yeah. Ooh, fragile. Must be Italian.
Yeah, I don't know. I understand what they're trying to do, because they got a 5-pointed star. They got pucks for each team, but only 4 teams are playing any given year.
The wood's all Minnesota native wood.
It's all Minnesota native wood, but it's boring Minnesota native wood. There's like nothing.
That's what she said. Oh yeah,
yeah.
So it's not a very visually interesting cup. I think they could have done better, and it's got like the yellow maple whatever stain on it. So it's it doesn't look rich, or it looks just cheap.
And then they got the, you know, the each puck for representing each team also has that part stained with their color.
Yeah.
So it, I don't know. It, I get the concept that they're going for, and the concept in as a concept sounds like a good concept.
The concept is great. The execution suffers a little.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And back to what you were talking about with the attendance.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to remember that the weather situation wasn't necessarily favorable.
True.
So it probably had a little bit of an effect on the attendance. But this is supposed to be Minnesota.
But Saturday wasn't really that bad.
No.
I
don't think Friday was bad either.
I think we had snow on Friday, I thought.
Maybe it was coming.
But I think
it all rolls together.
It all rolls. Yeah, this is, the winter's been so bad. It's just all. And the sad part is, you know, even if someone was listening to this outside of Minnesota, it's probably been a crappy winter for them too.
It has.
I saw a funny Facebook thing speaking of the weather, where basically it was like cold, really cold, cold, effing cold, super cold, and then there's California with an LOL.
Those bastards.
Except for, you know, they've been going through their drought.
Right.
So,
well, tough. Must be tough for them.
Yeah. You know.
Well, they can always ship in water, right?
Apparently, they got enough water for an ice rink.
Right. So, do we have any other thoughts on the North Star College Cup?
I think it needs to go to a 5-game. I mean, if it's going to truly be the North Star College Cup, who knows? You could have a team that's Bemidji this year could have been off the chart, ranked number one, not even had a chance to get in it.
Right.
That's just my thoughts. I mean, and, you know, again, the Gophers are hosting it every year, and the other four teams are rotating through. Gophers could have just a crap year, and the other four teams could be spot on. I mean, the likelihood of that happening is slim to none, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, but I think you need, I mean, out of all those schools, the U of M has the largest enrollment. It's going to have the largest fan base. You need to have that team in there. If you're going to even remotely get close to the ticket sales, you need to make it worth a while.
You know, and you could even do a play-in game 3 days before, and it doesn't even have to be at the X. It could just be a play-in game between the two teams. I mean, it's all, your farthest drive would be, what, Mankato to Bemidji?
You could even have it the week before.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you could have that be the, you know.
Well, this year, Hockey Day in Minnesota was the week before. So we could set up a college game for the North Star College Cup as a play-in game on Hockey Day in Minnesota.
We need to be on their payroll, dang it.
Absolutely.
Get on the panel.
Just have a TBD game on Hockey Day Minnesota of the North Star College Cup play-in game.
Yeah. I'm on board.
At least this year it seemed to lock up that way.
Right.
Sure, I'll jump on the bandwagon too.
But, so, yeah, no, I think we're all kind of sitting in the same boat, though, where it's like all or nothing on it.
Sweet. Well, I don't know if you guys have anything else to talk about. I take that as a no, so we'll wrap this thing up. When I'm not doing this podcast, you can catch me live tweeting or live snarking the Wild Games for 3 in the Box, and that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter. It's usually myself or Kenny or both of us. Sometimes Jive chips in as well. It's much like our band, Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com. We're also on Facebook. Hopefully sometime here we'll have some songs finally freaking released. If we can actually get these podcasts done before like midnight every night.
You guys are keeping us up too late.
I know. Jive, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm at Jive Midnight. Hey, Kenny?
Yeah, you can follow me at RottenK999, but for the most part, you're not going to see a whole lot there
Mentions of 3 in the Box.
Other than 3 in the Box mentioning me, yeah.
So with that, we'll bid everyone adieu.